Lee Solam says, how you doing, pal?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. Thank you very much. How are you doing, Ewan? No one ever asks you how you are. How you doing?
No one ever cares. I haven't got any friends. I've just got people who just come and discuss. Well, that's not true, because it's we just come and shoot the
We're
stuff
using over. You for our own promotion.
No, that's fine. I'll take it. We got some numbers. Do you see our numbers?
No, I didn't see numbers. I think you should tell us.
We have suffered with utter rubbish numbers for ages. Just we get reports back from all the stuff that comes out. We're like, no, that's not real. That's not true. And Paul Wheatley has written a program that runs on our server now that gives us 100% accurate stats. It's farming everything straight off the servers. And we're where we thought we were-ish. But we've got 132,000 downloads of the Mac Show per month. Huzzah! So that's working out about 25,000, 26,000 per episode.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Awesome. So if you've got a business, this is a place to come. I always wondered why UK2 were really happy with supporting us. Now I know. We're going to have to start charging them, I think. But thanks to Paul Wheatley for doing that. And next to him, on a different line, this could be a bit unsettling for Greenie. He's on line two and he's in a different square. He's not used to being this early in the introductions. I'm trying to pad out for him so he's got time to prepare himself. Mr. Green.
Hello, senor.
From At British Mac, what's been going on?
Well, my dog's roughing. I know that much.
That's all right.
Other than that, not a lot. Where's Don?
Don hasn't been on for a while, actually. We need to get Don on, but he's been globetrotting, hasn't he? He's been having his usual soiree across the globe.
Soiree?
I reckon he works for the CIA or MI6, to be honest with the real. No, the only person I've seen that's got a lifestyle like Don McAllister's is James Bond. There's a trail of Blofelds behind him, all lying dyed and eviscerated.
I have a trail of Blofelds behind me. Or is it just the blue part?
I knew as soon as that came out of my mouth, I should have just skipped over and carried on.
Have you seen all of his latest updates, though, on Screencast Online for iOS 8 and Yosemite?
Yeah.
He's done a fantastic job getting them all out so quick. So
he is. He's good.
I think that's why we ain't seen him.
Oh, he's had the developer previews, to be fair, but even so, they are snot hot against the Golden Master.
Without a doubt.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Sean King. How are you doing, sir?
I think I'm the only colonial here, am I?
Yes, you are. That's true.
Thanks very much for inviting me, guys. Appreciate it.
No. Normally, I'm the only red coat surrounded by a bunch of blue coats. So you're very welcome, mate. Canadians are friends here. Apart from the fact that you love the French. That's the only downside, really, I suppose.
Only some of them, the cute ones. Come on, now, be fair.
Yeah, my favourite line ever in a movie was describing a girl who was French-Canadian. And if she just shouted at the bloke, he said, some days she's Canadian. I guess today she's French.
Exactly.
The new show. We've had a couple of reviews of the new show. I'll read those out next week, though. What I wanted to tell you was that Kyle has agreed to carry on doing the new show, but the problem is he's the voice of the NBA. So, as you know, the season kicks off on Wednesday, and he's got a shed load of voiceovers to do. The only problem we've got is the only way we can keep him doing it is if we replace some of his other voiceover income. So we've decided to pay Kyle to do the news show. Basically, from the 1st of November, it's going to cost us $250 to do the news show per month. There's no other way of getting the news show out there. And I've got to say, my personal view is we've missed the news show since I stopped doing it, because it's one of those things that it's a light and easy listen, and it's kind of the way into the rest of the network and what the ethics of the network are about. So this is an appeal right at the start of the show. Please, 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 if you are a Patreon subscriber, have a think about just chucking us an extra buck a month or something like that, just to help us out with the new show. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, we're at the point now where we're having to start thinking about paying and giving money out to people to try and help us to get the shows done. It's a straight fact that if we want to keep the new show, we've got to pay Kyle. So he's not charging us a lot. We're getting a massively reduced rate for it. But anything you can give, thank you very much for supporting the network. It means an awful lot to us. Patreon.com/British Tech Network. And we really, really appreciate it.
How much are you paying him?
$250 a month. He's taking 150 quid a month for doing 3 hours work a day.
We have 20 quid I'll do it for. It probably won't be as good as his.
Yeah,
I think probably. I think it's money well spent on Carl, without a doubt. It's such a good show. It is. It brings in so many more listeners.
He does it. And the thing is as well, I was talking to Wheaties about it, and I always loved doing it. And Carl, when he took over, said, oh, I'm never as good as you. And I said to Wheaties the other day, I've got to say, I think Carl's better than me at it. And he said, yeah, no, he definitely is. I'm like, hey, steady on. But no, he is. He's definitely better. He's working in the voiceovers and all kinds of stuff now. So I thought his Bill Clinton impression was pretty good this week.
Carl is a proper pro, though, isn't he? He's a proper voiceover. Well,
he's the voice of the NBA. It's not like he's playing at it. No. So the fact that I say it takes him 3 hours a day to do the show. That's what it used to take me, 3 hours a day to gather all the stories, do all the recording and post it. And he's only charged us $250 a month. So that's...
In all seriousness, though, I could do it, right? 25 quid a show. I'd record them at the start of the month.
You're already more expensive than him.
Yeah, 25 quid a show works out 125 a week, times up by four, sometimes five. Where's the value there?
£15 a show. I'd record them all at the start of the month, and then just pop it out. I'd make up the news. They'll only last about, I don't know, a minute or two, something like that.
So, but there's nothing different there, Grinny. That's just you making shit up like normal.
Well, yeah, you've seen through my... cunning.
We know your MO, mate. We know your MO. The week in Apple, what's been going on? Well, I mean, the thing to start off with is Apple Pay, because, of course, that went live on Monday to the US. You lucky bastards. And I've got to say, I haven't heard a bad word yet. Everything I've seen and all the reviews I've read and all of the things, they're talking at it like it's magic. Anyone else seen anything different? But
no, not at all. I've seen some YouTube clips of people going into McDonald's and paying, etc. And it's just so swift. I can't wait for it to come over here. Really can't.
But I will. The only glitches we've seen so far in the States are Bank of America seem to be double charging or triple charging some customers. Yeah, the funny part about this, the best part of this, funny in air quotes, being typical of the media, they're blaming Apple for this. You'll see these glitches ruin Apple Pay, when in fact it's a Bank of America glitch, not a Apple Pay glitch itself.
Yeah, no, I mean, they never miss on the opportunity to jump on the bandwagon with Apple and give them a hard time. I'll give them a hard time where it's due, but I'm afraid it's not due on this one at the time.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, the Bank of America one could actually be deliberate on the part of Bank of America, couldn't they? I suppose, but good way to get cash. But is there anyone saying that the experience is negative in the sense of it's too easy to pay? You know, now this has made it so easy to pay, I dread to think what I'm actually sending out of my bank account.
Well, the folks at Recode have sent a whole team out to figure this out. As I tweeted them this morning, you need a team to buy a pack of gum? No, this is ridiculously easy. It's utterly simple and convenient, security-wise, very, very good. That's the whole point of this thing, is it's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be something that's makes not necessarily, you're not going to accidentally buy an HD TV. Let's put it that way. This is obviously going to be something that isn't going to fall out of your wallet because of this. How you use it and when you use it is entirely up to you, but it's more of a convenience thing. While security is a big factor for the user, I think it's mostly just a convenience thing. Well, the funny thing is, those of us outside of the U.S. have been using chip and PIN for years. Yeah, so for us, it's also kind of convenient. It's not that big a deal to pull our credit cards out of our wallet. So for us, it may not get to other locations as soon as it does in the States, because their system is so archaic and so insecure. They needed it a whole lot more than we ever did.
Yeah, what's the spending limit at the moment on the Apple Pay in America?
I don't think there is one, is there?
I was going to say, I hadn't clocked that.
Yeah. No.
Which surprises me, because that is a security problem, isn't it?
How would that be a security problem with Apple Pay?
No, actually, I'm going to take that one back, because in order to be able to access your phone, in order to do it, they've got to have your fingerprint or your ID. You know, you've got a few levels of security, actually, before you get in there.
If you walk up to an Apple Pay terminal with a severed thumb, they're probably not going to sell it to you.
Greeny, did you say something then? You're on mute if you did. No, he didn't. Okay.
Oh, excellent.
Fair enough.
Oh, I'm back now.
Yeah, you're back now. What was your pithy comment there then, Dee Greeny?
Well, there was no pithy comment.
Oh, okay.
Somebody came into a shop with a severed thumb.
That's the start of a movie, isn't it? Your creative juices are flowing already.
What do you think? Fair play, you know. If you want this Mars bar so badly that you've cut off somebody's thumb, then
they probably you can deserve have it. Yeah, I'd give them that.
Yeah, no, that's...
I've only learned this over the last sort of few months that America are so far behind, that, you know, with the chip and pin and stuff like that.
They've never it's amazing. Really had chip and pin, have they?
I tell you, here's something else. Ireland hasn't got postcodes. How about that?
Okay, so how do they get a letter just by the street name?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Okay. Same way we used to back in the day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? No postcodes in Ireland.
It is bizarre.
And completely irrelevant.
Will Green has gone up in my opinion because he's got a black Labrador, says Phil Holloway in the chat room.
Pretty dog.
Did you?
Pretty dog.
He's a pain in the arse, he is.
Yeah.
Watson is his name.
Watson. As in after Sherlock Holmes and...
You know, in some ways, I wish I'd have called him Baskerville, because I would have thought that would have been a great name.
Hound of. Yeah, absolutely. Superb, mate. Good thinking.
So apart from Apple Pay, what else has happened this week?
Well, they've got rid of the old... There's a few rumours kicking around about the sapphire glass, isn't there? They're saying that the sapphire glass... There was one report earlier in the week saying that Apple have reached a settlement with them and that they're cutting their ties with General What's-Its, the name of the company. I can't remember.
GTA Advanced.
But there's another report saying that Apple are still working with them. That's come out yesterday. So I don't know which one's which, but they're appearing all over the place. But I mean, they're talking about repurposing the Arizona factory as well. And I've got to say, Brian Chaffin always said on here that he reckoned that the Apple Watch was being pushed out from the Arizona place. He reckoned that's the manufacturing base for it. That's why they've got the secrecy, because they're in country.
Mm.
Feel free to comment.
When is when is the Apple Watch coming to the UK? Because I've been looking into it and I can't find a date.
There's no date at the moment.
There's no date, is there? It's just early next year, we're told.
It'll be a global release, probably. It'll be like an iPhone release. You know, you get it in the major countries straight off.
I'll lay you a quid. You see, I use a British word there? You see that? Before Valentine's Day.
I February have 14th day is my marker as well.
And that's my marker, exactly. Is for some reason... Little birdie thoughts, opinions. I think it's going to come out before Valentine's Day.
Is that because they want to get maximize on the sales to girls?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Think
so. I'm right. No. Oh, bloody hell.
The thing about Apple Pay, the Apple Watch is going to be really interesting to me is how Apple is going to sell this in the marketing and where they're going to sell it. Remember, these are our geek brains, our small lizard brains, keep focusing on the price point of $349 or $350, whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's the
but
one.
There's going to be $1,000 Apple Watches. There's going to be a $5,000 and up Apple Watch. Apple's not going to sell that in your local Apple retailer. No. They're not going to sell that in your regular everyday Apple store, Best Buy. Where's that going to be sold? That to me is going to be really interesting. How they market that is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, no. I mean, the thing you got to ask yourself, though, I mean, if they're talking about using Apple Watch for February 14th and trying to boost the sales to girls, no doubt on the back of advice from Angela Arendt, you've got to say, think of your own partner and suggest, if you bought them an Apple Watch, is that going to get you laid? Because I got to say that I'd probably end up in the spare room with mine if I bought her an Apple Watch.
I think I'll have the desired effect.
Sorry?
I've got one. I reckon that could work.
You reckon that's going to get you laid, mate?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she likes her tech. She's a good girl.
On Valentine's Day? That's interesting, yeah, because wouldn't they rather have flowers and chocolates and a nice dinner on Valentine's Day as opposed to I guess it depends on her. Yeah, if you have a lady who likes tech, this very well might get you the March 15th steak and you-know-what day.
What quantity of ladies like tech?
Well, I've never met one.
I was going to say, I've never met one either. I'd have married him if I'd have found him.
Well, I did. I've had many. It's the other thing is
steady.
For me, I had many, and then you didn't finish the sentence.
If they're not fans of tech, how you introduce them to tech?
Hang on, Sean. You can't start. I've had many, and then not finish the sentence.
many girlfriends, a wife, who weren't super geeky techs, who became fairly techy after my introducing them to various aspects of technology.
Yeah, what we do is we sort of ransom them to it. We say, well, you can log into your mobile banking, but you have to do it via this way, or you can watch a DVD, but you have to log into this version of Linux or your Mac or whatever. It's you have to the old water and a lead to the old trough and all that. It all comes. I mean,
if that's your best line, how come you've ended up with your missus? Because she's way out of your league. If that's your best chat-up line, there's something else going on there.
Well, I can play the piano quite well and sound exactly like a cheap version of Sting. That's how I achieved it. But going back to the Apple Watch itself, it's ugly, isn't it? It's thick and it's ugly.
Disagree completely. I don't think it's thick and ugly. I think the fact that you can customise those straps to have it looking pretty much, apart from obviously your base unit. I think it's going to be fantastic. Really, really nice. I think it's so well engineered. No, I have to disagree, I'm afraid. I don't disagree with you often, Will. I even agreed with your statement last week or the week before that anyone that uses a peripheral that isn't an Apple peripheral is a heathen. And I thought that was spot on. But no, I disagree here, I'm afraid, my friend.
I mean, the thickness of it, it's about an inch thick. It's massive. Well, I mean,
Have you guys seen them? Have you guys held them in hand? Have you seen them?
No. I haven't seen. Only obviously, images, etc.
Well, speaking as a photographer, and it is quite important to me. I think what they've got wrong is the ratios of the dimensions, not necessarily just the dimensions themselves. I don't think it matters how thick it currently is. I think you can get away with that thickness, but what they've got wrong is the radius is on the end, because when you look at it side on, it's too much like a marshmallow. It needs to be elongated. If it was longer and just as thick, you'd get away with it. But because of the size of the radiuses, it looks too pudgy.
Mm.
It's not. I don't think it's a dimensions issue. I think it's they haven't thought about the relative dimension over the overall size.
Well, I think if you remember back, Ewan, to the you remember we did the launch show.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were a few females in the chat room, weren't there? And, you know, I was down at Elmug with Charlotte, et cetera. And I don't think there was one female that said, that's too thick, I wouldn't wear that. Now, if they're going to be able to wear it and they think it looks acceptable, then I'm sure that we men can do the same. You know,
well,
it's not
there was
too
no
thick.
Women in the chat room said they wanted it. And what was it like down at Elmug? Was there any women there that said they wanted it?
I'm afraid there wasn't any Charlotte there. I didn't really see any others.
Right, okay. So, I don't recall that Charlotte was overly taken with it as well.
Yeah, she really liked it.
Yeah, Glenn Wilson saying, my G-Shock is nearly 20 millimetres thick. Well, that's no problem. It's no thicker than a Rolex, says Windride. I think that's a good point as well as.
Yeah.
I think it's the dimensions. It's that relative dimension. It's not wide enough to cope with the thickness.
So. Watching Mr. Federighi do the that keynote presentation via his watch, that was so well structured to be able to say, hey, look what this is going to be able to do. It was almost snuck in there, wasn't it? Almost as a stealth sort of pointer to the watch. I thought it was really good.
Did you notice they were still handing the clicker over there?
Yes.
Everything else they had to do with the clicker. Only that one bit was keynote. The rest of that presentation wasn't done on keynote.
Right, okay.
I think there was some shiz going on there with movies. And chapter points and stuff.
If you sort of draw a comparison between the first iPhone and the first Apple Watch, the first iPhone, even now, is still my favourite iPhone. It's thing of beauty.
It was. I thought I got that right.
It was great, wasn't it? But the first iWatch is thick, it's ugly, and it's inelegant. It's not very nice, really. I will buy one. I know I'll buy one because I'm a sucker. But from an aesthetic point of view, it's not ace. And I will agree with your comments that it's surely they could have made it, as you say, wider, but slightly thinner. Because have you seen it? And the gold one, Christ, how tacky is that? Who's going to buy
a
gold
one? Are you going for one or not?
Sean, are you going to buy
it? No. Now, the Apple Watch has no interest to me personally whatsoever, if only because I've got a beautiful old Tissot watch I bought 12 years ago. This is one of the things that fascinates me about the Apple Watch in general, is that because watches, if you wear a watch, generally it's a fashion statement. You're wearing it for a fashion reason. I love the heaviness, the heft of my Tissot watch. But the other aspects of the Apple Watch don't do anything for me either. I'm not an exercise guy, so I don't need it for that. I'm going to have my iPhone with me wherever I go anyway, so I don't need to listen to music on it. I don't need any aspect of the Apple Watch. So for me, no, personally, I have no interest in it whatsoever. I do hear from a lot of other folks who say that they're fascinated by it. They'll wait and see until they can actually hold it in their hands and use it. But for a lot of other folks, there's at least significant amounts of interest in it, and they want to go and take a look at it and see it, which is why I said, as I said earlier, how interesting it's going to be to me to see how Apple promotes this and markets this and actually sells this as a watch as opposed to a piece of tech.
Have you had the Pebble though, Sean?
I'm sorry?
Have you had the Pebble watch?
No. Again, there's no functionality in the Pebble watch that I would need or want. A, I've got a good watch. B, I already get notifications on my iPhone and on my computer and that kind of stuff. So, you know, most of those, that sort of computer on my wrist kind of thing has no interest to me in general because of the way I do things, the way I do my workflow. I don't have a problem pulling my phone out to get a text message or things like that. I don't need to see. I've never understood the whole idea of I get this message on my wrist and now I've got to pull up this other device to respond or react to the message. The two things, this seems like an extra step.
I think
you understand what I'm saying.
There's a use case kind of thing going on here that's, as with all tech, you should buy it if you're going to get some benefit on it, not because you're a sucker. I agree entirely. Yeah. But I do a lot of work on railway lines, and the one thing I noticed about my iPhone 6 is how slippy it is. I dropped it 3 times on the first night I had it. Yep. It's not good. So I have to put it in a case, and that's a different story. The thing is, though, because I'm out on railway lines, if I get my phone out, I run the risk of dropping it. And if it lands on the ballast, it's going to break.
Yeah.
So having had the Pebble watch, and I'd like to thank, he's in the chat room, Mac OCD. He's at Mac OCD on Twitter. Give him a follow if you can. Because he's very kindly sent me a Pebble watch, because I did get one from Andy. And but I didn't have an Apple phone at the time to use it, so I lent it to Paul Wheatley. And I said to Paul, are you still using that? And he went, oh, God, yeah, I love it. So I was, oh, bugger, I can't ask for it back. And then Mac OCD sent one through. And I've got to say, it's brilliant, because when I'm out on track, I can get a Twitter notification through, and I can just look at my watch without having to get my phone out and then worrying about dropping it. And also, if I've got a call from someone, I can look at it and I can evaluate whether, Jesus, I ain't going to talk to them, not today. And if you had a Bluetooth earpiece that was connected to your phone, it would be fantastic, because you can answer the phone call on your watch and just put it in. And you can also, what would be great then is if you've got Siri integration, you could, with an earpiece, you could just talk back your answer on anything that you've got. So I've seen some benefits to me in it. And apparently as well, Paul Wheatley said he went walking with his on the Google Walk stuff, and his wristwatch was buzzing when it was time to turn streets and stuff like that. He never even had to get his phone out at all. I've seen some benefits. I would get something wrong with it. But I think the sad part is, having had the Pebble watch, it makes me want to buy the Apple watch. It doesn't want to make me buy the next generation Pebble watch. That's the trouble.
Phil Holloway in the chat room said, I will buy an Apple Watch if they can handle the rain in England, as I'm a gardener and outside all day. And that's a really good point.
It won't be able to do it, guys.
I know it's not waterproof in any sense at all, but it would repel, I would have thought, from the case.
It's water resistant, but Apple has said do not take it in the shower. And if you can't take it in the shower, I wouldn't take it outside in the rain.
No, that's a good point.
It doesn't seem quite right to me. I had is it the iPod Nano that was that I could attach to a watch strap?
Yeah, yeah.
And so sort of just from a pure behavior, it's like you wash your hands in the bathroom, and a bit of water will get onto the watch, because you know that's just the way it is. And with a traditional watch, it's no problem. But if you have to take your watch off every time you wash your hands in the bathroom or in the sink, whatever, or when you're doing the washing up, you're bound to go into a meeting and pop out to the toilet, take your watch off and forget about it to wash your hands and then forget to put it, you know, back on your wrist. And it seems unfair that they make those sort of limitations. Sony, for instance, the Xperia range, that's all totally waterproof and they'll honor the warranty if you get them slightly wet. And I think with the Apple Watch, just the way that its physical position on your body and the way that you work with it, that they should make it waterproof or at least honor some level of water resistance.
But if you can't take care of your expensive electronics and not get them wet, well, why are you expecting Apple to do it for you? And how is this any different from our fathers and our grandfathers with their watches back in the before the 1980s? And this is what adults do. When you walk into a bathroom, you do your business, you go to the counter, you take your watch off, you wash your hands, you put your watch back on. This is a grown-up thing to do. Why are we suddenly wanting Apple and other manufacturers to hold our hands with our expensive equipment that we obviously can't take care of? I have no problem with taking my watch off, taking my rings off, my wedding ring or whatever it might be to wash my hands every time I do it. It takes 4.7 seconds to take them off and put them back on.
To be fair, I think there's a social hangover there, though, Sean. When I was a kid, I mean, I'm 50 years old now, but, you know, when I was a kid, having a waterproof watch was a bigger expense because it was more difficult to do. You had the seals and all that kind of stuff. The cheaper end market, you never got waterproofing at all. And then all of a sudden, sort of in the 90s, mid to late 90s, every watch you got was waterproof. And I think that's that mindset change of you know, our generation take their watch off to go in the shower. I mean, of course, I take my Pebble off to go in the shower. I've got no choice. Yeah. But I don't think it's in the psyche of anyone that's grown up from the 90s onwards, which unfortunately is a large proportion of the population now. And I feel really old every time I find out someone's birthday that I meet. Bastards. How are we getting on with continuity? Have we all had to play with continuity? And how are we getting on with answering iMessages from your phone on your computer? Because I've got to say,
I love it.
Wow.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I've taken, I think, 4 calls today on my Mac. And yeah, I was able to, because my wife, she isn't an Apple head. She's on Android, but I was able to do some proper text to her last night. And yeah, it's just so good. I really feel like I'm in the future when I'm using continuity. It's brilliant. Or handoff, sorry.
Yeah, no, I've got to say I haven't had a go at handoff particularly because I haven't done a lot in Apple documents. I've only been doing things like my stock stuff, which is Final Cut and Photoshop this week. But certainly getting a little text message pop up, and the thing that made me realise, oh, this is great, is I have to duck under my desk to get out from here. And I'd left my bloody phone on my bench at the far end of the office, and it pinged off, and I was like, oh, shit. And then I noticed in the bottom corner I'd got the notification. I'm like, oh, and I just started typing. I had these great big long messages, and it was fantastic. And, of course, I'm a wizard. I can type quickly on a keyboard, so the messages got infinitely longer as well.
We got, can I clear something up,
yeah.
Guys? Andy Malik in the IRC chat room says, I can see by release it'll be waterproof. No, Andy, it won't be waterproof by release. It'll still be water resistant. He says, it's not finalized. They're still working on it. No, actually, it is. The hardware is still finalized. One of the reasons why a lot of folks don't understand this about the Apple Watch, one of the reasons why Apple announced the Apple Watch when they did, but aren't going to be selling it until next year, is because it is an electronic device such as it is, it has to go through American FCC approval. It has to be shown to the Federal Communication Commission for approval. And those approvals are public. Just very much like, remember the original iPhone? The original iPhone was announced at Macro Expo in January of 2007, but didn't go on sale until June or July of that year for the exact same reason, that Apple has to show the hardware to the federal government in the United States and get approval for that device before they're allowed to sell it. And those approval, that the documents that the FCC then submits, is then made public. So Apple had to pre-announce the Apple Watch before they would pre-sell it. So that being the case, the hardware of the Apple Watch is now set in stone. That's not going to change. It can't, because they've already sent it to the FCC for approval. So I just wanted to clear that up with Andy Malik.
Yeah, no. My understanding was water resistant as well. I'm going to go on the Apple website and have a check, but yeah.
No, definitely. I've already checked. I've already asked my contacts at Apple, and that obviously very few things are waterproof. Waterproof is a misnomer. Apple has publicly said it's water resistant to sweat, to a little bit of water, but not to heavy doses of water like a shower, like being put underwater and things like that.
I mean, the designs are nice. I mean, it's got a very kind of nice, shiny, hematite-y type finish and that kind of stuff. And I've got to say, I will want one. But if they're saying, I mean, the one that perturbs me is if you're talking about the price point from the gold one, they're talking about that being $5,000. And the Milanese strap, they're talking about being $1,000.
Yep. You have an incoming call from Kelly.
Hello, Jay.
Howdy.
Look who's here.
Kelly Gamont is in the house. The one for the Milanese strap, if that's $1,000, I ain't paying $1,000 for a watch strap because the
no, of course you're not. You're not, but that's not the person Apple's selling this to. People keep forgetting this too, that us Apple techs and geeks and nerds go, oh, I'm not paying that much for it, but there are... How many people buy Rolexes? How many people buy high-end Tissots and Breitlings and Tag Heuers and all those kind of watches? Apple's not selling that gold edition watch or that Milanese strap to you and me, because I'm with you. There's no way I'm paying that much money for a frickin' watch strap. But there are hundreds of thousands of people who buy those other kinds of watches that will happily buy a $1,000 Milanese strap and think it's a bargain, too.
I think the subtle difference, though, is... if we take the Rolex as an example, like the Seamaster or something like that, it's a thing of beauty. It's a work of artistic creation.
Agreed.
Whereas the Apple Watch at the moment is ugly. And that's just the way it is. I appreciate it's version one. And I know by version three, it'll be a thing of beauty. But as it is, as it stands, it's pretty horrible, isn't it?
No, I disagree. But that's the beauty of fashion. That's also the danger of fashion, too, is that what you think is fashionable, I might think is unfashionable and vice versa. And so then that's fine. That's personal opinion. I have no problem with you thinking it's ugly. I don't think it's anything. I have no opinion about its attractiveness one way or the other. But yeah, there are lots of folks who do think it's attractive and lots of folks like you who think it's not. The danger we have is extrapolating our personal opinions onto everybody else. Everybody that it's ugly is different from saying, hey, I think it's ugly.
Well, Sam, Will, you think you should do that?
Yeah, I think we should do that, really. We need to teach the world the English aesthetic where it has to be
less garish.
Subtle, unobtrusive, less thick. It needs to be at least 150 years old for it to be worth any money. You know? No, in all seriousness, it's... It's nice. I don't mind the straps. They give you lots of options. The gold part is absolutely horrible. I couldn't bear wearing anything gold like that. But it's just the thickness of the actual unit itself. Surely in this day and age when they can make an iMac so thin and a blooming iPad Air so incredibly thin, they could have done the same with the watch. I mean, look at it. It's horrible.
There's a fair bit going on in there, though, to be fair.
Yeah, it's got to do a lot.
And it will get thinner. I mean, just again, look at the original iPhone versus the iPhone now, the original iPad versus the iPad now. You know it's going to get thinner. So if you want thinner, just wait for two or three versions.
Yeah.
Still going to buy one, though, aren't you?
I probably will get one.
Kelly, feel free. Yeah, no. All right.
Kelly, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, feel free to talk. I just can't get your video up for some reason. Your video's showing on the screen, but for some reason it's not passing it over to... to fasten it over to Wirecast, so do feel free to carry on talking. I'll have to find a picture of you off the net.
So. Oh boy!
Are you going to buy an Apple Watch, girl?
You know, I don't think so, and but I can't say for sure because I haven't had the opportunity to pick one up and hold it and stick it on my arm myself. I didn't get to go to the media event, so I haven't gotten my hands on one. And a lot like when we heard that there was a chance that there might be phones available in gold, you know, that came out and everybody went, oh, that's horrible. There's no way. Why would anybody do that? Nobody's going to buy one of those. What would make that sound like a good idea? Way to go, Apple. you know, and then it came out and a lot of people went, oh, well, you know, it's not so bad. And then a lot more people went, not so bad. I think it's fantastic. And they all bought one. So I kind of don't have a lot about it until I get to pick it up for myself. Because remember, I had the big complaint about the size. And we know that it's going to come in a slightly smaller version for people who have smaller wrists. And I want to see how that's going to turn out. Maybe it will end up being something that is more useful than right now I anticipate it being. Once it's out, it's probably going to change the landscape a little bit for people who carry their phone in a bag, not necessarily in their pocket. If you are someone who have who keeps your phone in a bag of some sort, whether it's a purse or not a purse because you're a dude or whatever, this makes it so that you don't have to take it out so often, and it might make the 6 Plus something that is more appealing to people if they have this accessory to give them the basics that they don't have to haul it out so often. Maybe it will make the 6 Plus more appealing to some people or make that the tipping point on the decision. So I'm going to wait and see what happens with it because I think I will end up being pretty nifty. I don't know that version one is necessarily when I want to jump in, but overall, I think it's going to be cool. And I think it's going to be something that is going to be, it's going to make interaction with screens a little different, just like with the iPod made it a little different to interact with MP3 players. I think we're going to get the same thing here.
I think iBooker has just made a fantastic point in the chat room. He's just said, sure, Apple can make it super thin with a 2-hour battery life. I think that's pretty good.
Well, that's the big hit, wasn't it, from Microsoft that with their watch this week. The big thing was it's going to have 2 days of battery life.
No.
Allegedly.
Yeah, but who doesn't charge up their phones every night anyway? Really? You're going to charge up your watch every night. As long as it's got, it doesn't need to be, 2 days. It's not needed.
I comfortably get 2 days out of my iPhone 6 now.
Yeah, so do I.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. No, I don't.
The biggest thing I like about the watch, I don't know whether I'm on my own, but I always take my iPhone to bed because for me, going to sleep is I listen to an audiobook or a podcast. And it's a great way of going to sleep.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I do the same. I use an app called Sleep Cycle I use that as my alarm clock and to monitor my sleep patterns, etc. So yeah, mine's always under my pillow.
And wouldn't it be nice if instead of having to sort of root around the house to find your phone, because the amount of times at sort of 12 o'clock at night or midnight, I've been doing find my iPhone-y thing and then waking up everybody up because it's in the bedroom. Wouldn't it be great if it's on your wrist and you know where it is and you go to bed and you can listen to, because it has got a speaker on it, hasn't it? So you can listen to a podcast or an audiobook on your phone.
Just to pause there for a second. I need to restart the video.
And it came over here.
Like pie? Are we still talking about pie made of
just
turnips?
Pumpkins themselves.
Oh, just okay.
Turnips that were used as sort of jack-o'-lanterns before.
Oh, right. Okay, not pie. Yeah, I'm still back at pie. So
get your head out of the pie.
And we're back.
Yeah, I just rolled out of bed and put on some makeup, Ewan, and came down to do the show. So
your video doesn't work.
Well, your video's fine now. You're all back. So we're all up and running. So we can carry on where we left off.
Excellent.
I miss the smell of burnt turnips. You know, as the night went on and the candle was in the bottom of the turnip, the top used to get sort of shriveleder and shriveleder, didn't it? And then it used to start to burn.
Shriveleder? Is that the word?
Well, I like shriveleder. I don't know.
Shriveleder. It could be.
Yeah, shriveleder.
So the show and title's going to be Greenies Burnt Turnips.
Greenies Burnt Turnips.
That went just put in the chat room. Also, pumpkins are easier to carve, whereas Swedes are a complete sod. That's because they're solid. We're doing the Apple news, I think. I can't remember. What are you doing, right?
I guess it wasn't a lot.
What are you doing on the 6th of December? Because what you need to do is get your backside up to Tweed Bank in Scotland. It's going to be a fun, fun day. We're going to have the Northern Bash. So everyone that's north of the Watford Gap and can legitimately call themselves a Northern is going to be getting up there. And if you're not, you're still welcome. We're not going to just push out the soft southerners. Northern Bash is simply this. It's a day of gaming. The Gamer Show quiz will take place. The Christmas quiz, as normal, occurs. There'll be a curry that'll be brought in and then eaten. And it's £5 a ticket. That's just to pay for the hire of the hall. We're going to have five or six stations up where you can play video games. I'm going to take my old Binatone up from my parents and play that. It's a bring your own booze party because it's not like the Southern Bash where everything's laid on for the ticket price. And
right, I've got to stop you there. I can't do this anymore.
Why?
You cannot, in any way, shape, or form, call it the Southern Bash. It takes me 4.5 hours to drive north.
All right,
It's got to be called
the Midland Bash.
You've seen where I live.
The Headquarters Bash, then.
Yeah, that
Headquarters
works.
Bash. I'm going to have a word with Paul about getting the thing changed because apparently there's going to be an Indian there rather than a curry. But I'll get that sorted. But there it is. It's on the 6th of December. I'm going up. Greeny, you're coming?
I'm going to try to, yes. Yes. I look forward to it.
You're driving with me. And I think Chrissy's in the car with me. So we've got one seat left. So Bagsy's to anyone that wants to come up. And Lee, if you want to come, you're more than welcome to stay here and then drive on the next morning.
Yeah, it'd take me a day and a half to get there. But
No. You drive here the night before and then I'll drive us on to Scotland the next day. And I've got my hotel booked, my room there. So it should be absolutely gorgeous. Do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to the one next year. I'm going July the 4th.
July 4th. Tickets are already on sale. Yeah.
Bringing the family to this one.
Yeah.
It's my birthday on the 2nd, so that's going to be my celebration. That's my present.
Oh, making the family come. If you love me, you'll come to the bash.
They're going to enjoy it.
They're going to enjoy it, no matter what. No, the tickets are already on sale. So if you click the link for the Northern Bash, you can either buy the ticket for the Northern Bash or you can buy your ticket for your Southern Bash already. It's definitely July 4th. No question. It will not change, I promise you. This podcast and all the others are brought to you by the Network Union. Lee loves the Network Union.
Chatting with Rob today.
He was chatting with him today. If you're a large company and you've got SIPs, MPLS, WAN, any of that kind of stuff, if you've got a contact with BT already for provision of service, then don't worry, nothing's going to change. But if you sign up with the Network Union, they can provide an extra layer of support integrated into your process to make you just that little bit slicker and betterer than you already were. If you're a decision maker, then just send your email address through britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors to the Network Union and they'll give you a call back and see what they can do to help you. Just have a chit chat with Robert and see what can come of it. If you're not and you're a consultant that's working in an organisation, either if you can send on the decision maker's name, that'd be great as a referral, Robert will look after you, or if you just say, look, I put your name forwards, I can't tell you who I put it forwards to, but just so that you know that I appreciate your support in the British Tech Network, and here's the person within the organisation that that you need to talk to. They will be very grateful, and so will we, because they've looked after us, and I appreciate the fact that the listeners do look after them as well as. And the other people that they look after are UK2. UK2 have been with us for 5 years. They're picking up all our bandwidth. They're picking up all of our charges and service charges and give us unlimited storage. And we're doing all right with them. They're happy and we're happy and we love them to bits. And we'll stick around for a long to come. If you've got anything that you want to buy for the net, VPS, VPN, co-location services, domain names, dedicated servers, etc., the whole thing, then these are the people to check out with. You've got a whole load of offer codes as well on the sponsors page at British Tech Network, and that'll get you a massive amount off your basket when you go and buy stuff from them. So check them out. Go to uk2.net. Go through our sponsors page if you can, even if you're just going to sign in, because they're absolutely wonderful to us, and we just want to know that there's repeat business coming back from us. Thank you very much. We've lost Sean. I don't think
we lost him to coffee, which is fair.
That's perfectly acceptable. I kind of I don't think there's any really more Apple news. We've kind of hit it. I'm sorry, Kelly, but we kind of went through it a little bit while you were there. Now then, do you have a cool thing, Mr. Garrett?
I do indeed, and it's quite a weird one, to be honest, because it's a gaming one. Oh, but okay. As games go, it's not that stunning. The gameplay.
So why are you picking it then?
What's your cool thing? Well, it's not that cool.
I mean, you've got to download it. It's a game that's called EL. And what it is, you start off as a little silhouetted little girl that comes out of this little prison, and it's all quiet outside, and there's just this umbrella outside the prison. So she grabs the umbrella, and in Flappy Bird's kind of style, you've got to just maneuver her to the end of a level, avoiding things like birds and balloons and things like that. But the thing that sets this above other games is it's got the most beautiful, relaxing music in the background. The whole imagery is all based on silhouettes.
We'll buy a
freaking
album then.
And even though it's quite an easy game to play, you'll knock through it in about an hour, no question. It's just really good to pick up for 10 minutes and calm you down when you're in like a bit of a stressy mood or something like that. And I've completed it a couple of times through, but I'll still sit there and play it, see if I can get to the end any quicker. I think it's an awesome game. Really
so
like
why
it.
Don't you
and last time I downloaded it, it was free. So I think it's free.
Why don't you just buy an album? Buy a relaxing music album. Buy one of those Zen pieces of crap instead.
I know, I've got all of that on Spotify. You know, I use that for when I'm, you know, writing and, you know, I need to concentrate on some work. But, you know, if I just want to sit there and play a game and just chill out, it's a really good, really good option. Really
so
calms
there you
me
go.
Down. I like it.
You've
got to try it. Download it on your 6+. It'll play well on the 6+.
Your 140 character review of L is passable game with nice music.
Yeah, that could work. No, with great music.
That's about it. Okay, right.
Great music. Very zen.
Have you gone so far as to steal the music of it and put it on loop, make an MP3 of it, no?
No, not quite, but I could do. That's a good idea.
Yeah. When you're driving the car, you could fall asleep at the wheel.
Well, the difficulty I have is when it comes to choosing a pick is most of the apps that I buy for, you know, the Mac and the phone are all productivity ones, and I need to save those for the productivity show that's going to be coming.
Oh, I didn't think we were officially announcing this.
I think you announced it a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we're talking about
it. You were saying, oh, there's another show that's going to be coming. But,
all right. Go on then.
It's going to be in the pipeline. A productivity and tech show.
Productivity show, you say, Lee. Tell me more.
BTN is going to be having its own productivity show.
There we go.
Fantastic idea from Ewan to be able to get some sort of productivity expert-y type person, which unfortunately is me, but I've got a couple of friends that are going to be able to pick up the slack that I put in there. But yeah, we're going to be going over, you know, ways to be able to manage your email, how to manage your calendar properly, etc., to-do list management, how to get by at work with your tech, how to use cross-platform stuff.
We've got two titles in the offing at the moment. Have we settled on one or not?
We need help.
Well, do you want to get help from the BTNers?
I reckon we could do.
Go on then.
Essentially, what we need is a show title that's going to fit in with the standard icons that we got. So it's got to be
it's the something show.
So the two that we've got at the moment is the output show, because obviously we're trying to maximize people's output, and also the smart show, because it's all about working smart and being smart. But the problem that we have with the smart show is people might, you know, think it's about smartphones, etc., when, you know, there's a smartphone element to it. But it's not specifically about that. And then the output show, in my stupid view, just points to audio and things like that, and it's not, you know, about audio, it's about productivity. But you can't call it the productivity show because it won't fit in the icon.
There you go.
We're in the badge.
And we can't call it the prod show because we'll upset all the Catholics, so.
Well, Bronwyn said GTD. I think GTD's I think that's trademarked. I don't think we can look at that.
Okay, fair enough. Greeny boy, do you have a cool thing for us?
Yes. I thought being October, the month of Halloween, that whenever I'm on the show up until Halloween, I will pick a ghosty app.
Oh, okay. You like your ghost stuff. I spooked the crap out of my kids with Ghost Finder or Ghost Hunter, whatever it was.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh, they were proper pooping them.
Well, the guy who writes that one is called Michael Weber, I think.
Yeah.
And it's from JeddahSoftwareSystems.com. And this afternoon or this morning or whenever you download this podcast, I have chosen another Michael Weber app, which is absolutely superb. I've emailed him a few times for an interview, but he never responds, that bastard.
Doesn't know what he's missing.
No, he doesn't, does he? It's called The Amazing Eight. So what I'm going to do, what I really like about him is the quality of the graphics and the music. Listen to this. Okay. So it's all around a I think I should point out this is totally free app. So Ewan, ask me a question and I will use my magic ball to answer it using this app.
Are you going to come to the bash, Will?
Okay. Yes.
There you go. Look. Hey.
So how about that?
It's a magic eight ball then.
No, it's a crystal ball, you know. Magic eight balls, that thing you shake and... I don't like those ones.
You said it's called Amazing Eight.
I think there's a link there somewhere.
Yes, possibly. But I'd rather keep it British if you don't mind. So it's a magic ball.
So this fits in with your Gypsy Rose Lee's tent thing?
Yes.
There we go.
My mum, when I was young, I was probably about 11 or 12, and I went to a gypsy tent and had my fortune read at the village fete. And she got it, the lady, you know, in the tent got it absolutely spot on. And my mum went crazy about it because I told her what everything that the gypsy had told me. And she said, oh, you know, she must know you or must know your history and blah, blah, blah. And she went really nutty about it. It's bizarre, isn't it? It's what's in some ways, somebody going a bit mad about when somebody tells you the future and looking for an alternative explanation is one of two things. It's one that thinks deceit, or the other is it. Are they in denial? Are they in denial of the power of the supernatural? What do you think?
Could be. Could be.
I'm lost.
Yeah, you've lost me as well. Actually, I just thought I'd
I can't lie.
but. Well, I know you're into your supernatural, though, Will, and the meeting with Gypsy Rose Lee clearly had a profound effect on you as a child.
Well, I tell you what it is. The reason I've got so into it, or have a most definite interest, is this house. We had such a period of poltergeist/ghost activity over a 2.5 year period that was sort of above and beyond creaking boards or sort of the hot water switching on or whatever it is. It totally convinced me. And since that period, which is probably about 8 years ago, I've been totally switched on to at least exploring the possibilities of life after death and the concept of ghosts and spirits. And I'm not prepared to switch my mind off to it. So, okay. And it really does stem from that period of supernatural experiences in my own home, which were absolutely terrifying and totally real. It wasn't like I just heard footsteps or something like that. It was voices. It was banging on the wall, banging on the door, footsteps in the kitchen, scratches on the thing. It's just a mass of unexplained phenomena. And it wasn't just me. She wasn't my wife then, but Vic was my girlfriend, and we were sleeping in the same bed, and she experienced exactly the same things. It was absolutely terrifying. So based from that, from sort of personal experience, I've made it a bit of a quest to at least open my mind up to this sort of stuff. So anyway, being the month of October, every pick I choose will be a supernatural one.
Jolly good, mate. Very good. Very good. We like that.
Was I a bit whingy then? Was I a bit of a bore?
No, I don't mind. I don't mind us having the supernatural stuff because it's easy to take the piss out of you for it afterwards.
Okay. Because you're not opening up your mind to it.
I'm a devout atheist. My aunt came round to dinner once. She said, well, if you're an atheist, what do you think happens to you after death? I said, a rot. Sorry. I'm not going to think of anything else. Do apologise.
Didn't you tweet out in the week, Ewan, that... all of these different religions are being taught in school, but no one teaches atheism.
No, exactly. If you're going to teach faith, you've got to teach that there are some people who don't have that faith. If you're going to be genuinely egalitarian about it all. But no, Bryony's come back full of God this week. So I'm not trying to indoctrinate her. I've just said, well, just bear in mind, not everybody believes that there is. But that's the first she knew. She knew about Diwali. She knew about Hindu gods, and she knew about Buddhism as well, which isn't even a faith. So... there we go. Enough about that, because I'll get bloody emails. Ms. Gamont, do you have a cool
thing?
Let's
get back on the Mac, otherwise Sean's not going to come back. And that was a rhyme.
Maybe he left in a huff. So my pick is sort of a pick for October, but also looking ahead. So there's this company called Loud Crow Interactive. And the reason that they are nifty is because they made the Peanuts apps, like Charlie Brown and Linus and Lucy. They have a really awesome app for The Great Pumpkin, which is a beloved television special in the United States, as is A Charlie Brown Christmas. And the neat thing about The Great Pumpkin is that it's like an interactive storybook, and you get clips from the special that are part of the thing. But the narrator for it is the now adult kid who was the voice of Charlie Brown in the Christmas special, in the special. So he's the narrator, and it's pretty nifty. And there's some little like mini games and things, like you can carve your own jack-o'-lantern when you get to that bit in the special. There's a little game that you where you can carve your own jack-o'-lantern and you can save it. And it's really well done. I know that it's only, you know, Halloween is in like a week, but they also did the Charlie Brown Christmas app, which is super neat. I'm not quite as excited about the Thanksgiving one because I was never as excited about the Thanksgiving special. But if you have children, if you were a kid who grew up on the special and are now an adult, this is a fun like nostalgia thing, and the games are pretty nifty. If you have children, reading this with them is really easy because as the narrator is reading, I think Linus does the Christmas special. As the narrator is reading, the words at the bottom that he's saying get highlighted. You can turn the narration on and off. If you have a kid who's old enough to read for themselves, they can read for themselves. And there's a couple of video clips of the app in action on that website, which is the link that I posted. And I really enjoyed both of them. And I think that they are actually pretty nifty. So this is one of those opportunities where someone had sort of a book, decided to try to see what they could do to level up. And I think that they've done a really, really good job with these. So I recommend them to everybody. And that's my cool thing.
Excellent. I used to love Charlie Brown when I was younger. I don't think it ever really, really took off over here, though, did it?
But yeah. It used to be on BBC Two, and it used to be immediately before Monkey.
Oh, Monkey. Oh, let's not go there.
And The Nature of Monkey was irrepressible.
That was awesome. That was just completely effed up, wasn't it?
It was. Monkey was the bomb. The absolute frigging bomb. You can still get it if you go on YouTube.
But those apps look good, Kyle. Yes. They look good. I think I'm going to check them out with Lilia tonight. We'll have a look at those.
Excellent. And
you didn't say that about my app.
I know.
Well, the chat room has pointed out that this is this is probably the last show that we'll do in October.
Right. So, and that's why I'm looking ahead to they also have the one for Charlie Brown Christmas.
Well, no, but
which is pretty neat.
Greeny's doing his spooky one throughout October, but today was throughout October, mate.
Yes, I fucked up a bit there, if I'm honest.
Oh, thanks for the editing as well.
Oh,
that's all right.
Yeah, bastard.
So next Friday.
Next Friday, there's no show, but there will be. We're going to do a show the following week, so you can have one extra one for next week.
I was going to say, next Friday is Halloween, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're not doing a show because I'm working, so it's the following week.
That's not very fair.
It'll be the 7th of November, mate. You can have one more spooky pick on the 7th of November because it's Guy Fawkes. It's still spooky.
How about, can I send you a spooky thing this week to whack out on your channel?
Yes, you can send me. You just send me a piece of audio, mate, and video of you picking your spooky thing, and we'll put that out as next week's Mac show.
Okay. with sound effects, it's going to have sound effects. It'll be purely Mac, because that one was an iPhone one, so it will be a Mac pick.
Right.
It'll have a few spooky sound effects, and I'll send it over. How's that sound?
You Dropbox me some video, mate, and I'll do the rest.
Okay, perfect.
You need to get, like, the regulars, video and audio of the regulars going, ooh, for a second, and then that'll be the show, is, like, a few people being scary, and then Will's pick, and then we're out.
Nice job done. I'll send that over. I'll enjoy doing that. Sorry. I might even put on a costume. I will put on a costume.
Do it.
Costume, but all I can think of now is you sitting in front of the camera with a sheet over your head, but you didn't cut the eyes out, and then you're trying to talk about your app.
Mate, I think of Greeny with a sheet over his head most weeks. last but by no means least still, Sean King, do you have a cool thing for us?
Can I cheat? Because I don't know if you guys are ever going to invite me back. I got two.
You'll definitely real be quick, back, though. Sir.
Go nuts.
For those folks who may know about me, I'm a photographer, and I teach and train photography. You saw the demonstration at the Apple event in September of Pixelmator for the iPad.
Pixelmator for the
desktop is an amazing app. Great app. I've always told folks that.
And I know you take it ahead of Ewan because I bet you Ewan had it as well.
I bloody did. That was my pick.
That's why I didn't.
Sorry. We should have cleared these ahead of time.
I changed my mind. You're never coming back.
Exactly. That's right. Pixelmator came out. The desktop app is great. I always tell folks that if you think you need Photoshop but can't afford it or don't want to spend a subscription to Adobe, Pixelmator will do 75% of what Adobe Photoshop can do. But it's now available on the iPad. It's $5. Just go buy it. It's a great company. They're very supportive of the Macintosh community. The app is great. The iOS app on the iPad's amazing. Really, really cool. But the one I want to talk about is a free app. And it's a free app, surprisingly, from a company you don't expect good apps from. Now, to be fair, they cheated and bought the app. Google does this piece of software called Snapseed. Snapseed is the app. You can go to the iTunes store, do a search for Snapseed. I'll post the link to these things in the IRC chat room if somebody wants to grab them off of there. It is the most amazing app when it comes to editing photos on your iPad. If you follow me on Twitter, and I suggest you don't because I have Twitter verbal diarrhea. Don't follow me on Twitter. But if you are so unlucky as to follow me on Twitter, you'll have every photo I take on my iPhone gets passed through Snapseed. I'll go so far as to take photos on my big expensive DSLR, put them onto my computer, then put them into Dropbox, then open them on my iPad just so I can use Snapseed. That's how cool the Snapseed app is. It's insanely easy to use. It's a finger swipe interface. You swipe up, you swipe down, you'll figure it out. There's a bunch of options down here on the bottom of the screen that things like tuning, cropping, adjustments, black and white, vintage. And you don't have to know what any of this stuff does. Just click on it, start swiping your finger around the screen, and I swear to goodness, you'll figure it out inside 5 minutes, and your photos will look better because of it. So believe it or not, a free app from the folks at Google called Snapseed is my cool thing.
Yeah, it is good. It's Snapseed's excellent, and Pixelmator is really excellent. I tweeted out a couple of pictures of me kids loving their Miamite, and Bryony hates it. Ellis loves it. They've got the same parents. We both love Marmite, but Bryony hates it for some reason. I got no idea why. No idea why. But that was done in Pixelmator 20 seconds before we came on air. So.
Yeah, great app.
Quick and it's easy to use and it looks fantastic. And it's £2.99 in the store at the moment.
It's a ridiculous price, isn't it? I'd happily pay between £10 and £15 for that, I reckon.
When they were demoing it on the Apple launch, I was thinking, all right, you know, $19.95. I think the desktop app, I'm guessing the desktop app is $50. I'm just complete out of my butt number. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? I'll pay $19.95 for this. And it looks really cool. When they came out with the $5 price point here in Canada and the U.S., it was like, buy. I couldn't click the buy button fast enough because in case it was a mistake, I literally thought it was a mistake that they had put it up for $5 and they were going to change the price inside of the next 10 seconds. I was like, buy.
Well, you couldn't buy it yesterday. It was it all froze up. There was no sales of anything. I've ended up having to buy it today because I thought, oh, they're going to do like the first 200,000 units are going to go at $2.99, and then that's the end of it. And then Don McAllister tweeted out last night that it was no longer available on his response. And I was like, oh, God. So I thought, I'll go and check this morning, and I downloaded it this morning at $2.99, so it's not...
And the other thing is, it's a great company. There's a couple of Russian guys who are the developers of it, and they're also the tech support, and they're also the marketing, and they're very supportive of the Macintosh community. I've met them a couple times at Macworld Expos. They're really, really nice people. They're the kind of people you want to support in a Macintosh community. And luckily enough, they also make a great, great app. And I don't say that about too many apps. This is the Pixelmator, both on the desktop and what I've been playing around with the iOS version. Fantastic apps. MacStories.net has got a really good long review of it. Federico Patici has done his typical great work on the review of the iOS version of Pixelmator. So if you're curious about it, go to MacStories.net and read Federico's review.
Great. Good stuff.
If you do buy it and fall in love with it, the Mac version is available on the Mac App Store for $29.99. If you don't have it already and want it on your Mac.
Yeah, £21 here in the UK.
Yeah. Good. And it's super fantastic. All the stuff that Sean said, I would be repeating. It's great. The developers are great. They're super friendly. They're really helpful. They're people who are very interested in giving back to the Mac community. And so, I was super excited when they were like Pixelmator. I was like, yeah, new iPad. Pixelmator what? So I'm really excited that it's mobile now. I can use it all the time.
Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Lee Garrett?
You can get hold of me on Twitter at Solium Says, and you can visit my website, which is www.soliumsays.com, and creeping about the British Tech Network.
Excellent, mate. Productivity show on the way. We've had some suggestions in the chat room for it. The Get Shit Done story.
That works.
Yeah. And the Dunn.
You're welcome.
The Dunn Show, which I'd quite like, apart from the fact someone's going to call it the Dunn Show at some point.
And that'd be so accurate.
You're just feeding email responses there, mate. Mr. Green, where are you, sir?
BritishMac.com. You can follow me on Twitter, which is BritishMac.
Have you published an episode, dude?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. No, not yet.
He's never let that stop him.
Well, you know, the trouble is, here's the thing. I take so much time sort of putting them together because I treat them almost as sort of art pieces.
That was a statement you didn't need to make.
Well, it's the news bit. It's such a pain in the ass because it sort of changes every week. Ridiculous. Almost day by day.
Well, do you know,
hour by hour.
It changes every day.
It's ridiculous. They want to slow things down a bit. But yes, I am working on one. And it's probably 80% done. I just need to sort of whack it out. Can I say, I don't think we did it at the start of the show, but I tweeted out what a pain in the ass Yosemite was. But I've got to be honest, I absolutely love it now. I've been using it for a week, and I think it's great.
Excellent. No, I like it. It doesn't run with everything. It's not brilliant at the moment with Wirecast. Wirecast got particularly glitchy with it, but we need to upgrade the Wirecast maybe. But no, I've got to say, I generally like it. I hate the dock. The dock looks like shit. For Christ's sake, Johnny.
The best thing about it is, if you go to the system preferences and then choose a stormy stormy desktop, it's like a cloud sort of overhead, and then you can select night mode. And if you select night mode, it turns the menu bar at the top of the screen and the dock into sort of a gloomy grey and a sort of an inverse, and it works really well. It's very atmospheric at this time.
Where's that?
In System Preferences. Hold on. Apple System Preferences. Oh, hold on. I'm not running Yosemite on this one. But yeah, it's in there, and it turns the top and the bottom into a... It's got a midnight mode. Or something. Or
okay, I'll have a look while Kelly tells us where we can get her.
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also find me explaining things at Mac Observer. And you can hear Mike Rose and myself on our new show, The After Show, which you can find on iTunes and at aftershowpodcast.com.
Excellent, Mrs. Thank you very much. And Sean, where are you, sir?
Many, many places. The website is yourmaclifeshow.com. as someone once called me, the OG podcaster. I've been doing Your Mac Life or versions thereof for 20 years now. So if you want to check it out, typical Macintosh podcast, just with more swearing than most. Also, if you're interested in photography, startingpointphotography.com is my website for photography. I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/SeanKing, and that's Sean spelled S-H-A-W-N, but again, don't follow me on Twitter because I'm very verbose. I use Twitter as a conversation medium, and I talk all day long on Twitter. So if you don't want to talk to me or don't want a lot of stuff in your Twitter feed, don't follow me on Twitter.
No, that's what I think it is. I think I always say to people, if you follow me, I'm not one that tries to gather followers. If you have a conversation with me, I'll follow you back because I want a conversation. Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, E-W-E-N-R-A-N-K-I-N. And we'll have a chat, have a conversation, get a cup of tea going, who knows what. Enjoy the new credits at the end of the show. God, they're good.